Well, good evening, everyone, and happy Laetare Sunday. You know, when I was young, my mother had a bright blue Studebaker. For those of you who are really young, a Studebaker was a kind of automobile. And anyway, after it got, you know, several thousand miles on it and was ready to be traded in, my mother persuaded my father to have the car refurbished, and she also had it painted a bright, vivid pink, rather like the color I'm wearing tonight. So I thought I had escaped from that color, but I guess not. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Thomas Aquinas said that the incarnate Christ was both a beholder of the beatific vision and a pilgrim on a journey like us. One of the consequences of this reality, this dual nature of Christ, is that Jesus saw the same things as those around him did, but he saw them differently. We had an example of this different vision, this shift in perspective, of Jesus last week in his encounter with the Samaritan woman, where Jesus turns a conversation about drinking water from the well into one about the living water of eternal life. And we can see a similar shift in perspective taking place in today's gospel story of the cure of the man born blind. Jesus is in Jerusalem, where he visits the temple and declares, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light of life." And he goes on to have a discussion with the Pharisees about Abraham, the ancestor of the Jewish people. Jesus told them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to think that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Pharisees said, "You are not yet 50, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." This phrase, "I am," is repeated in various forms throughout the Gospel of John. And as I pointed out last week, it is Jesus' appropriation to himself of the divine name of the God of Israel, which was revealed to Moses at the burning bush on Mount Sinai, "I am who am." The Pharisees consider this to be blasphemy, and they pick up stones to kill Jesus, but he eludes them and leaves the temple. It is against this background of Jesus' self-revelation and the refusal of the people to accept him that the story of the man born blind takes place. Once again, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But now he is not engaged in a theological discourse, but rather in an act of healing. Jesus spits on the ground, makes a paste, and puts it over the blind man's eyes, and then tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam, which was one of the reservoirs in Jerusalem. The man washes and is healed. He is then brought to the Pharisees because the healing took place, as so many of Jesus' cures did, on the Sabbath day. And there follows a series of exchanges between the blind man, his parents, and the Pharisees, which would be almost comic if they were not concerned with such a serious issue, the means of our salvation. The dispute ends with the man born blind being ejected by the Pharisees. Jesus finds him again and asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man born blind says, "Sir, tell me who he is, that I may believe in him." And Jesus replies, "You have seen him. He is the one speaking to you." Like the conversation with the Samaritan woman, this exchange ends with Jesus openly declaring that he is the Messiah. The eyes of the blind man have literally been opened, and he is able to see the Son of Man in person. However, the Pharisees and all those who trust in their own righteousness remain in spiritual darkness. As Jesus says, "It is for judgment that I have come into this world, so that those without sight may see, and those with sight may become blind." The Pharisees were guilty, not simply because they did not recognize who Jesus was, but because their own pride and selfishness prevented them from seeing the truth incarnate before them. They thought they knew the truth, but although their eyes were open, in reality, they were morally and spiritually blind. This story then serves as a magnificent illustration of the purpose of the Incarnation, which St. John described in the prologue to his Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was the true light who illuminates everyone who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.